Judy.
Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Hanok.
This is the Hebrew Aleph Bet class.
Okay.
And we're starting with a memory test, not a memory test, but a reminder. So we're going to say the letters of the alphabet in order. And we start with the first page of the you have in, printed in front of you. And for Judy, I don't know if you have the PowerPoint, but if you do, it's the first slide. So
I don't
please repeat. Okay, but I know you know the letters, so.
Yeah, I do. I don't know.
Please repeat after me. Aleph.
Aleph.
Bet.
Bet.
Gimel.
Gimel.
Dalet.
Dalet.
Hey.
Hey.
Vav.
Vav.
Zion.
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 Chet.
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 Yud.
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 Kaf.
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 Lamed.
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 Nun.
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 Samech.
What happened to Nun?
Did I skip one?
Yes.
Okay.
Mem.
Yeah.
Mem.
Nun.
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 Samech.
Samech.
Ayin.
Ayin.
Hey.
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 Sadi.
Sadi.
Ku.
Ku. Ku.
Reish.
Reish. Reish.
Shin.
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 Ta.
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 Now we're going to do it faster. Let's do it together. Aleph.
Aleph.
Bet.
Bet.
Gimel. Dalet.
Hey.
Wav. Zion. Chet. Tet, Yud, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samech, Hey, Ayin, Hey, Tzadi, Kuf, Resh, Shin, Kaf. Now, we've studied the Aleph, and what is the energy of the Aleph? What is the essence of the Aleph? Does anybody remember? The essence of the Aleph is unity. It's oneness. What are we, as Jewish souls, trying to achieve? Oneness with Hashem.
Unity with
Hashem. Go ahead, Judy. What was the question?
I said, you was asking questions. I said, are we trying to achieve unity within diversity or diversity within unity or whatever?
Yes. I hadn't taught that here yet, but yes, you are correct. The purpose of creation is to achieve unity through an appreciation of the diversity. Because if we think about the creation, there's 30 million species of insects. Why do you need so many insects? Obviously, Hashem created all of the species. Why would he do so? Because we need to learn to appreciate diversity, differences, and that is how you achieve unity, through the appreciation of the differences. We also studied the letter Bet. Do you know what the essence of the letter Bet is? The letter Bet is a house. That's correct, Judy. The Bet is a house. The essence of the Bet is whatever the meaning of house is. And house can be different things. We spoke a little bit about, obviously, obviously a house is a building that you live in. But sometimes people live in tents. Is that a house? Sometimes in the Torah, a woman is called the house of her husband. That has a sexual connotation, but it's still trying to understand the meaning of house. The more we contemplate the meaning of house, the more we will understand the energy of the letter Bet. And we know the Bet is important because it's the first letter in the Torah. If you understand that the first letter of anything, any word, the first letter establishes the energy, the overall frame of energy. So what we're being taught by knowing that the letter Bet is the first letter of the Torah is that the Torah is a house, but we don't know what it's a house for. House for learning, house for
worship.
It's a house. What is the Torah? It's a house for God. Yes, Judy.
Could it also mean a house is also like a vessel or a container that something lives within or house something?
Correct. Very much so. So you see, as you think about the word house, you'll get a better appreciation of what the energy of the letter Bet is. We also learned the letter Mem. The letter Mem has the energy of water. One of the words that the Torah uses that starts with a Mem is Mayim, and Mayim means water. But what is the essence of water? The letter Mem is the energy of chesed, of loving kindness. Why? Because the sages explain that the letter Mem is water, and what is the essence of water is it shares, it spreads out, it goes to the lowest possible location. It constantly wants to expand until it reaches a limit, a blockage. But essentially, water represents loving kindness in the physical world. We need water to live. Water is not, it's part of life. It's life. We need it to live, but we also need air to live. We also need a certain level of temperature to live. And those three things represent the energy of the mother letters. And I mentioned just in passing, there are three mother letters. There's the Aleph, there's the Mem, and the Shin. The first, the middle, and almost the last letter of the Aleph Bet. They're called mother letters because they create elements, physical elements that we need to live. We need air to breathe. We need water to live. But we also need fire to keep warm, to have a temperature. What happens when someone dies, Shalom, God forbid? What happens when someone dies, God forbid? Their temperature goes away. They get cooler and cooler and cooler until their body temperature becomes the surrounding temperature. But essentially, fire represents that energy of the science today says it's the electrons moving, the atoms moving against each other creates the temperature. But that's an element that is a basic element of life. We have to have a temperature. Otherwise, there's no movement. So are there any questions so far? And from now on, we're going to, as we learn each letter, I'm going to add this to the discussion, because the more, and I'm going to test you each week, but obviously it's not there's no pass or fail on the test. It's just learning more. And as Trudy has always said, what I speak in this, on this sermon, they're not sermons, in the drashot, the speeches that I give on Shabbat, what I speak about is food for thought. It's something to think about. And the more you think about these letters that you will learn each week, the more you will come to understand that essence of the letter.
That's fire.
Yes, the shin is fire. Why? We ask the question, why is the shin the sound of shh? Because that's the sound fires make. Hopefully you've never been close to a forest fire or close to a burning building, but you hear that sound when something's burning, shh, the crackling. It's definitely, this is the mem sound, mmm. It's not, we don't think of it as water, but it's a sound of elements.
Air.
Is the air. And what are the three aspects? You have the right column of the tree of life is sharing. That's water. That's the sound. You have the left column of the tree of life. That's the receiving. That's the fire. And then you have the center column, the middle, the balance point, that's the air, which consists of water and fire. We don't think of it like that. Air, who thinks water, that air is both fire and water? There, when it rains, there's water, but there's also when you analyze air, you have the mixture of air and fire, and that becomes the balance point. Does air have fire in it? Yes. What is the wind? It's a form of fire, a form of movement. We'll talk more about that as we learn about those letters.
We need air to breathe.
We need air to breathe, yes.
We need oxygen.
Correct.
Oxygen. There's air.
But it's also, oxygen is what provides the energy.
It's burn up. Get what?
You mix them, you not burn them. If you mix them together, they form water. There's, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's H2O, two parts of hydrogen and one of oxygen. But we have air. The atmosphere is composed roughly of 20% oxygen and 80% nitrogen. And what is the essence of nitrogen? It's inert. It has no movement on its own. But oxygen is where the fire is. Why do we need oxygen to live? To breathe? Because the oxygen provides the energy as it burns. Nitrogen doesn't really burn in the same sense. But let's go on to the next letter. The next letter in this order is not, we're not following the order of the alphabet. Why not? There are many ways to learn the Hebrew letters. One is to put them in order. Just go Aleph and Bet and Gimel and so forth. But there's other ways. Parts of the mouth. Other ways, it's the shapes of the letters. This is really based, this order that this PowerPoint is based on, the shapes of the letters. So the next letter is the Hebrew letter Resh. And this is the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a letter that makes the sound of an R. The numerical value of the Resh is 200. Now, the Resh has two sounds. Americans are never taught this. Americans do not have the ability to make the two sounds. I'm going to attempt it to give you a sense of what is the difference. But in Spanish, there are two sounds to the R. And I use that as an example. But I can say Resh, like a hard R sound. Or I can say a rolling Resh, roar. The lion roars. Resh. It's a rolling sound. And as I said, I'm not doing it right. Americans aren't taught to use their tongue in that way.
Oh.
A trill.
Yeah.
And why is it the trill? It's that it's a long R before you get to the L.
That
English does not have the rolling R sound. And therefore, as children, we don't ever exercise our tongues that way. But in the children who've grown up with Hebrew, in a Sephardic home, not an Ashkenazi home, in a Sephardic home, they exercise their tongues that way. They learn it. So, but if you look at the letter, you see a yud in that letter. In the top, the left, I'm not sure if it's printed because we're doing, but where's the yud? At the upper left. Mm-hmm. Is it there? We will have memory aids for some of the letters, but not all of them. And the memory aid helps to remember the shape of the letter, but also the sound of the letter. Memory aid is to help you, because there are letters that will look the same. When you start to learn to read the words, the letters that look the same become confusing because you see one letter, but it's the other letter, and they look similar. So we need to understand that, and we're going to point that out. Like the Dalet and the Resh. That's correct. And that's why the author of this PowerPoint put in these memory aids. They're not normally, when I learned the letters, and I'm sure when Trudy learned the Yiddish letters, they didn't have these memory aids. But for Americans, this is a good approach to remember. So the Resh is called the round letter. If you look at it, you don't really see it round, except for the corner. The right corner is round. And when we get to the Dalet, you'll see that the right corner is square. But we haven't gotten to the Dalit, so right now there's no reason to understand it. I'm just pointing it out to you, because the main difference between the two letters will be that corner. Sometimes, but if you're writing it, if you're making a block letter, you don't put the dent in. When we get there, it'll show the dent, and you're right, it's there on the first page that you're looking at. But normally in the Siddur or the Torah, they don't make the Dalit with that indent. It is the correct way to make it, but we don't do it because it takes too long to write like that. The reason why it's called the round letter is because it looks very much like two other letters that we have seen. The dented letter, which we haven't come to yet, and the final kaf, which we also haven't come to yet. Both of them have a sharp, even dented top right corner. But this letter is round at the top right corner. And that is the only way to tell it from the dented letter known as the Dalit. And the R is round, and so the round letter, that memory aid, reminds you of the shape that the right corner is rounded, not square. As we said, the Hebrew letter Resh is the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Why do I care that it's the 20th letter? Why is this part of the teaching? I say it in passing. I said the Aleph was the first letter. I said the Mem was the 13th letter. Why is that important? If you look at the numerical values of the letters, we count 1 to 9, the 10th letter, and then we go in based on tens, 10, 20, 30, 40. The 20th letter is in the hundreds. The ratio is 200. But when it comes to gematria, there are many different ways of counting. One way of counting is the order of the Aleph Bet. If it's the 20th letter, it means there's a gematria based on that number 20. What position does it have in the Aleph Bet? Remember, I have spoken that by saying the letters in order, we're putting our life in order. Hashem created the letters. One of the reasons he created the letters in that order, obviously he didn't create them necessarily in the order we have them today, but he put them in that order as a final method of understanding. The fact that it's the 20th letter has meaning. What does the number 20 mean? The number 20 is the number of gerar in a shekel.
The number of what?
Of gerar in a shekel. You may not remember, but in the story of the half shekel donation, the Torah says, you are to give a half shekel towards the upkeep of the temple. You are to give a half shekel, which is 10 gerar, because there are 20 gerar in a shekel.
Spell that word.
G-E-R-A-R. We don't know what that word means. I mean, we do, but I'm not going to go into it. It would just take us aside. What I'm trying to get across is every letter has a position in the alphabet order. And that position is used in one of the forms of gematria. It's called the normal gematria. The normal gematria, it's just somebody else who came on, or who they were kicked off and they come back on. The normal gematria is a way, it's a different way of understanding numbers. But if I have a word that has a normal gematria of 27, and I have another word, totally different letters, but also 27 is its normal gematria, when I read that word in the Torah, I can also read it with this, that word with the other word with 27. I can substitute that word for that first word. Now, I understand this is an intellectual, and it's not something we deal with in the English alphabet. So it's foreign to you, and I will constantly reiterate this. And eventually, I'll give you examples to make it clear. Go ahead.
I think. Five, five, five.
Mm-hmm.
Six, six, six.
Yes, is 18. His life.
But in Christianity, it's
the number of the negative system. Interesting, isn't it?
You know if they got that from?
Yes. They did, but they don't teach that's where the source is. They just tell you that. They give it to you and they don't explain it. Just like a favorable number in Hebrew is 13. 13 is not considered a favorable number in the Western world. Why?
All I can say is tradition.
All tradition has a source, and that source has a logical reason. It may not be a valid logical reason, because with logic, I can prove that I have 11 fingers. You want me to show it to you?
No.
Here's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 is 11. Is it logical? Yes. Is it true? No. Logic can prove anything. But you also have something called a feeling. You show that to a child and you play that game. They're just learning numbers. And you show it to them and they look at it, they hear it, they understand it, and they know it's wrong. That's a feeling that they have. They can't prove it to you. They can't tell you why they know it's wrong. But their feeling is there. And there's a difference between feeling and emotions. Emotions cause us to be reactive. You get angry and you lash out. You get angry and you run away. Emotions, we are reactive. Feelings are above logic. They're intuitive. Now, if I say to you, that's Kabbalah, And you will say, I don't want to learn Kabbalah. It's too far beyond me. But it's not, is it? You understood what I said. You'll think about it, and that's Kabbalah. Something that you can't, you don't ever have to believe me. But what I say has to be thought about. What I say says, try this, see if it works for you. Say the Aleph Bet in order every morning. See if it works for you. See if you're having a better day than you had last week when you weren't saying it in the order. Does that mean that everything's going to be perfect in your life? No, but it's going to be better.
Now, by order, you mean the order?
From Aleph, Bet, Gimel, from right to left.
All the way as you see it.
Right. You see that that line is it. That's the Aleph Bet, right? And you know that Hebrew is right to left. And you've seen the English Aleph Bet from left to right, A, B, C, D. But if I say to you, look at that line, and that is a number line, right? What is a number line? You heard it in school. You heard it dealing with mathematics. A number line is a useful tool in understanding positive numbers, negative numbers, balance. The zero is the balance. You're looking at letters. You're not looking at numbers. But you are looking at numbers. It's both a letter and a number and a position in the order of the alphabet. These are intrinsic values to each letter. These are intrinsic values to each essence of the letter. It helps us understand the essence of the letter if I understand what's its location in the order of the alphabet. It helps me to understand the essence of the letter if I understand its number value, if I understand its number in the order of the alphabet. All of these aspects that I'm mentioning are part and parcel of what is the letter. We're not taught in English to think like that. But the Kabbalist, he looks at a word, he sees a number. And not only just one number, he sees three or four numbers. Sometimes you add value of the letter together to understand the word. Sometimes you look and say, well, this word has the letters of the word are in order, meaning they're following the alphabet. And sometimes they're mixed, where the first letter is and the second letter are in order, but the third letter goes backwards. It's a mixed energy. This is when you look at the word, this is what, as you grow spiritually, this becomes second nature to you. But you don't teach that at the beginning. You teach it at the beginning and it'll be confusing. But as you grow spiritually, you'll see that.
In Israeli newspapers printed in Hebrew, do they use the letters for the numerical value, or do they use...
They use the letters for numerical value, but they put a quote sign between the last two letters. That's how you know it's a number. So you're reading a word, but you're reading a number, and which one do you use? But again, most Israeli citizens don't study Kabbalah. They don't understand that their mind is being taught to think in numbers at the same time it's being taught to think in words. But children do learn that. It's unconscious, but it's there. And it's one of the reasons that the Jewish people have all of these brilliant people. All of the not all, but we're you know, 15% of the Nobel Prize winners are Jewish. 0.5% of the world's population is Jewish. It doesn't make sense. Why does that happen? It's because as children, you learn the alphabet. You are learning numbers. You're learning to think on multiple levels on an unconscious level.
I thought it was because of the Zionist conspiracy.
Now, of course it's part of the Zionist conspiracy, and that's called the Hebrew letters.
Before I converted, somebody from my congregation said, after you convert, someone will take you aside and explain the international monetary system. Obviously, that didn't happen because I'm living here.
No, actually.
Which could be seen as fortunate.
What I was about to say, that the reason that you're living here is because you converted. That's the fortunate part of it. Without it, where would you have been? Because you would have ended up, God forbid, destitute. And this way, you live in a country that supports this. Unfortunately, it doesn't support everyone that way. And that's why you have 25% of the country's homeless in California. Having come from California, I can say that. Why am I not in California still? Because
I have a place to live here.
Because they have Section 8 housing in California. They don't have HUD-supported housing. HUD supports the local government, who supports and pays the rent to the landlord. That's what Section 8 housing is. But it's not HUD like this is. We qualify through the HUD program. They don't have that in California. They're not aware of it because the state of California didn't buy into that program. Well, it has to do with sex. A lot of it is drugs. You find a place to stay.
Somehow,
you don't work the system. To come live here takes a lot of paperwork. You got to gather your financial records. You have to prove that you need the support. We do it as second nature because we've been living here a number of years and we do it. Or we have people who do it for us. But the homeless person may not have that support system. They may not have people who would help him fill out the paperwork. Yes.
Medically or mentally, a lot of drugs that make people not
working. If I went into each of your rooms, I would find a lot of drugs. Oh, but they're not drugs, they're prescriptions. Look at the name of the letter. The three black letters at the bottom. You don't have it on that first page. It's Resh Yud Shin. You see the sounds. Resh, Ray, the rolling R, and the S sound at the end. Resh. So every letter has a spelled out word that means it. Now, what does the word Resh mean? if I look at the three letters, the first letter is a resh. The resh has the meaning of head, rosh. Rosh.
Head.
It also has the meaning of lack, of poorness. It has the two sounds, it has the two meanings. The yud is the first letter of Hashem's name. So it's godliness. The head is godly, and the shin is fire. The letter resh, the essence of the word, is the God is the head, or God is the passion.
Is it resh, is head, and
poorness, lack.
Lack?
Lack, L-A-C-K.
I'm out of
Don't worry about it.
Lack.
Now let's go and finish the letter resh. Look at the resh and the dalet. This is pointing out the difference. Now we haven't learned the dalet per se, but if you look at it, the resh is round, the dalet is indented. What's important about the dalet, and we'll go over it when we get to the dalet, normally that indent, we don't write it that way. But that line would go straight up. But the dalet has an overhang. The top line overhangs the vertical line. Whereas in the resh, there's no overhang. It's rounded at the end.
You're talking about the right side.
The right side is the dalet.
I was thinking of the upper.
Yes. They're the same.
Yes. That was reminding me of. When you build a house, if then what you put around it falls off.
A fence.
Yeah.
It's a short fence. I know what you mean, and I don't remember the word either. It's a barrier. It'll come to me eventually. Yes. But within the letter itself, I haven't heard that. But I'm not saying it's wrong. There are seven new ways to understand every aspect of the Hebrew language, including each letter. So I've not heard it, does not mean it's incorrect. And as you said it, my intuitive feeling was that it is correct. That it's the dalet means a doorway. And a doorway is a way of opening or closing, protecting, which is what that little fence is on the edge of a roof, so someone doesn't fall off. But I have to be very careful. I'm not teaching you something that comes from me. If it's my thought that I haven't heard from somebody else, but I intuitively know that it's right for me, I will always tell you, this is my thought. And then you have the choice to evaluate it and say that's true for me or it's not. Now, if you look at these two letters, what's the difference? They're different letters. What's the difference?
Right.
Okay. But the main difference is the length. When a Torah scribe is writing a Torah scroll, the first thing he does is score the scroll, the paper, but it's not paper, the animal skin. What I mean by score, it's a printing concept. He draws a line across, but it's not a printed line. He makes a mark on the skin that stays, that's a line. He makes 42 of those on each paper. I'm trying to remember the name of what we call the skin. The animal skin is what we write the Torah on. But before he starts writing, he creates a pattern of these 42 lines. The letters are designed to fit within the two lines. But some letters go above the line, and some letters go below the line. The Kaf Sofit goes below the line. In one sense, it's a metaphor, but those lines represent our earth, our physical world. So if I go below the line, where am I going? I'm going where, and what, who lives below the earth? The underworld, the negative system. Who lives above the line? Hashem does. Heaven is above the line. We live between the lines. And that's where the letters are written, for the most part.
Now,
they're below the line. But it grows, the plant grows from the negative. Now, let me take that. What Joe just said is that if you have a tree, you have roots that grow below the ground. And therefore, if he's using the same metaphor of the lines, the root is coming from a place of negativity. But what does it do? It grows up towards heaven. It's reaching for heaven. But it's starting in below the ground. It's starting in the negative system. That's what Joe's question or comment was. And if you take that comment to understand it, I'm going to give you a different metaphor, but explaining the same thing. Roots do cause a lot of things. You're right. When we plant a tree and it grows in our sidewalk, it buckles the sidewalk, right? What's that? Oh, it just happens that way. No. It breaks pipes in the house. It's not a question of adding humor. It's great, because what you're doing is recognizing the metaphorical system that we all utilize is really what God created. Did God create the negative system? He did. Did he create the positive system? Of course he did. Do we know why? What's the purpose of the negative system?
Appreciate the positive.
To appreciate the positive, to provide you reward for not falling to the negative. And to know the difference, correct. You walk into a dark room and you turn on the light. Where did the darkness go? You walk out of that room, and as you walk out, you switch off the light. Why does the darkness come back? Because it comes back, I know it didn't get destroyed. Where did the darkness go?
It didn't go any place, okay?
Did it cover it up, or did the darkness go into the light? Both statements are correct. It's depending on how you view the world. Darkness from light.
So before they were separated,
they were united because the light represents fulfillment and the darkness represents desire. When the fulfillment and the desire are together, there's no lack. And that is the endless world that we spoke about in our history class.
When we have both.
When you have fulfillment and you have desire in unity, the fulfillment is, there's no desire because if you're hungry, now you've eaten. Are you still hungry? No, you're fulfilled. The food is the fulfillment of the lack of hunger. The food is the fulfillment of the lack of food. Hunger is a word that we use to describe a lack of food. I understand.
So, my gathering, if this is what that deal with, it's then light.
It's gray.
Right.
It's a color. Light is white. Dark is black. When you mix white and black in painting, it becomes gray. Do you like living in a gray world? My sister went on a world tour. She and her husband took 6 months and they traveled around the world. My sister was in a wheelchair, so she had MS. But still, this is something she'd always wanted to do and she arranged to do it. When she came back, she described, I always saw the television pictures of the Kremlin, of Russia, as this gray, overcast place. And I thought it was the propaganda. They were taking pictures and putting a filter on it so it would look gray. But when I got there, it is the country. The country's energy is gray, the mixture of black and white. One of the things that a human being is to do is to separate between light and dark. To know what is, how do you know what's evil? It's dark. How do you know what's good? It's light. How do you know what's evil in a world of gray? How do you know what's good in a world of gray? This is the metaphor that the Kabbalists use to describe our physical world after the sin of Adam. In heaven, there is no dark, there is no light. They're in their own places. In this world, it's a mixture, and it became a mixture with the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Do we? Why do you see color?
I
And what is the purpose of the of your eyes? The truth, or see the lie. To see lie. No, you don't discern between truth and lie with your eyes. You are, your eyes are designed to see a lie. It's a harsh word. I normally wouldn't use that. Your eyes are designed to filter God from your direct sight. Is God everywhere? Yeah, you're shaking your head yes, so I'm telling the recording you're saying yes. God is everywhere, so how come I don't see God? I can see God when I see a miracle. I can see God when I look at a baby and see the beauty of the baby. I see God. But do I see God, or do I see the illusion that the baby is hiding the light, hiding God from me? All of our senses were created so we would see the veil, not the truth. That takes a lot to absorb.
What am I eating? More complicated and fine is the accident when I discovered how blast so that colorblind people
can see colors.
Color.
Absolutely.
In video when it was blast the first time.
Exactly. Let's move on, since we're running out of time. Not that we ever run out of time, that's God's mercy. But in order to make the resh, what we're shown is you make it in one curved line. We learn how we can write the block form of this letter, Resh, using the simplified form, which can be made with a pencil or a pen. You see it in the inside of the... I'm sorry. And we make the resh in one stroke. We don't stop. When you make the resh, it's straightforward, but it's curved. But if you try and make the resh in two strokes, one across and one down, you're going to create a condition that it doesn't look right. It's not a resh, it's another letter. So your homework is to practice that, practice the resh. And now you have certain letters that you know how to write. So I'm going to ask you to write the following words. Ram. Not R-A-M, but resh mem. And I remind you that the mem at the last end of a word has a final form that's different. I'm going to ask you to write the word im, aleph mem. Im means mother. Ram. I'm going to ask you to write the word bar, which means sun in Aramaic. But in reverse order, resh bet, rav, means elevated rabbi, a very, very intelligent, very educated rabbi. People who are spiritual guides are called Rav. Those are three words to help you practice your writing of the letters. And remember, the more you write the letters, the more your muscle memory comes into play. Ram, Im, and Rav. So I'll spell them. Ram is Resh Mem, but it's Resh Mem Sofit. Im is Aleph Mem Sofit. And Rav is Resh Bet. Bet. It's the B sound of Bet. Now, if you reverse those words, Ram becomes Mar, Mem Resh. Im becomes Ma. And Rav becomes Bar.
The B becomes B.
Yes. Im becomes Mem Aleph. And ma in Hebrew is spelled Mem He. And Ma in Hebrew means what? But Mem Aleph is an Aramaic word, and I'm not really sure what it means. So I'm not telling you the definition for it. But I know I've seen the word in the Aramaic, in the Zohar. You all have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And remember, next week, our first class is Wednesday, because Monday and Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah. Yes, definitely. Bezrat Hashem. Be very careful. Rather than saying yes for sure, because I can tell you, Alavai, correct. That's Yiddish for with life. I'm not making a vow. I'm not saying these words are to be manifested, because maybe I don't know what the future brings.
But a vow is very important.
Yes. Absolutely, because every word you say manifests. Every word you say has power, and people don't think like this. We don't think so. It's important to say a word, but every word we say is meaningful, and every word we say can and does manifest in the physical world. I can tell you a number of stories, but one of which was a sage. His student came to him after Passover and apologized that he wasn't able to be with his rabbi over Passover. He had another appointment with his family or wherever. And he made the statement, and for sure next year I will be with you. Well, they both died the next Pesach. So be careful what you say. Are there any questions on the recording?
No, thank you. Appreciate the question.
No, thank you.
Thank you. We'll speak to you later on the... I understand.
I couldn't make it. Okay.
Well, that's why we have the recording. You take care, Brandy.
She had a guest. Okay.
I know.
Okay, great. She wanted me to
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.